reporting here from Zurich in the European Gold Forum. Let's talk a little gold mining action up in Alaska, the great state of Alaska, with Contango Ore and CEO Mr. Rick Van Nieuwenhuyser. They do trade on the NYSE with CTGO. Rick, the last time you and I chatted was this fall in this exact room.
It was.
That was the last time we got an update from Contango. You know, kind of give us a lay of the land of what's happening with the company up in Alaska now and the operations.
Yeah, so we're a mine that's a joint venture with Kinross. We're the 30%, the junior partner. We actually found the thing, a project called Manh Choh. We formed a joint venture two, three years ago now, and we're now mining and stockpiling ore and transporting the ore to the Fort Knox mill and building a stockpile there. I think we're probably around 100,000 tons stockpiled at Manh Choh. Average grade should be around 8 grams per ton. And we will start batch processing that in July is the plan. So I was just up to the Fort Knox site to see what are called the mill modifications to accommodate our ore. And I think they're misnamed because there's actually no modification to the mill. It's the modifications are all to the reagents that are added.
Oh, okay.
Because our grade is 8 grams per ton and Fort Knox grade is 0.8 on a good day, so it's 10 times the grade, our grade. So we need more reagents, more cyanide, bigger cyanide destruct circuit. We need more lime and cement. And most importantly, we need a lot more carbon because you got to load the gold on the carbon and then strip it. And so we need a bigger elution circuit. So that's all what's being worked on now at Fort Knox into the mill modifications. That's all on Fort Knox capital. It'll be, we, the joint venture, will pay Fort Knox for that capital over the life of the mine. That's included in the all-in sustaining costs. That's all part of the toll arrangement between the Peak Gold joint venture, which is our joint venture at Manh Choh, and the Kinross Fort Knox operation. So all-in sustaining costs, I think we're going to be on track for 1116 that was in the feasibility study. I think plus minus will be in that range. We're contract mining with Kiewit. That came in under budget. I'm referring to the feasibility study budget. The transport is coming in on budget. And the toll was already known, and that's sort of a given. So we're not really seeing anything. And the price of the other important thing is the price of fuel. We assume there's $100 a barrel base diesel price, and I think we may well see $100 a barrel oil with what's going on in the Red Sea and the Suez Canal and all that. But we're still under, certainly for this year's budget, given the. Given that we have all the fuel we need for, this has already been brought up because it comes up once a year on the barge in Alaska. So, I think we're in really good shape. Should start producing here in July, and I think we'll at least get two batches processed this year, maybe a third late in the year, in December, or maybe the month of January of 2025. Mm-hmm. So we're going to generate a lot of cash flow.
So this starting put that stockpile through in July. I mean, tell me about the timing of this. I mean, what's been happening there at Fort Knox? I mean, are they just feeding their own stuff in there until it's time for yours to go?
Yeah, you got to finish the mill mods, mill modifications. Okay. They'll probably start commissioning that in mid May, making sure all those tanks of reagents are plumbed into the mill correctly. They're all the tanks and everything are up. The structural steel is done. It's mainly electrical and pumps and piping right now. So they'll get all that done, commission all that, and then, as I said, they'll start batch processing in probably July is the time frame that we've been shooting for.
You said 10,000 tons you got stockpiled right now?
100,000.
100,000. Excuse me, 100,000.
We deliver about roughly 10,000 tons a week with the current fleet, and we're adding two truck and trailers, two to three a week. And we're up at about 30 now, 30 trucks driving a day, 24/7. And then by the end of June, they should have all 60 trucks, and that'll be the full complement.
How much do you expect to be fully stockpiled come June?
Probably 200-ish.
Okay, almost double.
Yeah.
Okay. And then mining will continue at Manh Choh even after that, you know. So
we're mining 24/7 now and building the stockpile there, and then the trucks transport the ore up to the Fort Knox mill. We will batch process once a quarter for about a month, the Manh Choh ore. So the Fort Knox side of the mill, if you will, shuts down.
Yeah.
The way the Fort Knox mill is set up, there's a big sag mill and then two ball mills.
Okay.
And they've only been operating at half capacity for a number of years. So what they used to do is they'd run one ball mill, and then they'd switch it over and run the other one. So now they're just going to dedicate one of those to Manh Choh ore. And then 2 months a quarter they run Fort Knox ore, the low-grade stuff. And then 1 month they run the good stuff, the 8 grams.
Okay. What does the reserves look like at Manh Choh right now?
Million ounces.
Million ounces.
Yeah, and that's it's a million, 1.1 of reserves, and I think recovered is 950-ish, something like that.
Any exploration, try to add ounces to there? What's that look like?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because it is a five-year mine life, so we're going to get after exploration in a good way this year. We have a $4.7 million exploration program underway, probably starting in May. And most of that is going to be right, what I call Minex, right in and adjacent to the known reserves. If you go to our website, there's a slide in there that shows the surface soil, gold geochemistry in and around the area where the reserves are defined, and there's lots of geochemistry to poke holes at. So, most mines double or triple the mine life. It's not an uncommon thing. So we have a huge, huge land package. It's 675,000 acres. It's private land owned by the Tetlin tribe. They receive a royalty. Contango, been working with them since 2008. So we have a long working history. And Kinross has kind of brought that to the sort of the next level with jobs that they're real practical, because they're trucking, driving jobs, they're mechanic jobs that are related to just keeping everything operating. So that's stuff that everybody can do locally and get trained for locally.
Yeah.
So good local hire. Policies that are in place that have been in place for a long time. Like I said, I think Kinross has just kind of brought it to that next level.
Yeah. What's the bank account look like right now for Contango? You got enough to settle to spend that 4-7?
Yeah, we're spending probably in the neighborhood of $5 million a month, mining and trucking and stockpiling the ore. We've got plenty of capacity on our debt facility with ING and Macquarie. We're basically spending their money, but we'll have to pay it back, of course.
right, with interest.
With interest, and of course they're watching very closely, making sure that things are on track. So
yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of times, a lot of companies, they get to that point where they're like on the verge of starting into production, and then like they surprise the market with another financing or some sort of
it's a harder. Typically for a junior company, especially, and then there's been a bunch of train wrecks, so we don't need to,
We only got so much time.
But it is hard. And again, this is a relative to building and mining and milling, and you're having your tailings facility and getting the coordination of delivery of ore and all those things is a tough thing. And that's why you need extra working capital to make sure you get through that period. And you know, companies like Pure Gold didn't have that,
right?
And so it's a very sensitive time. And if you do need money, you're totally screwed, because when the market knows you need money, you know, they make you pay. Mm-hmm. So we've got plenty of capacity. We're literally just around the corner from production here, and with the gold price increasing, our projected cash flows are significantly better than what are in the feasibility study, which were already quite good. And again, it's hard to lose money when you have 8 grams per ton going to a mill.
Yeah. How are you kind of balancing that outlook right now? I mean, we've had a $300 run price of gold super quick. I mean, obviously we're all watching this and kind of holding on to our seats, where it will end up. I mean, we could see a correction. We always do see a correction when things move this fast. Quick, but when you're looking at your back of napkin math projections of your revenue lines here, how do you kind of balance out the reasonable expectations of your price of gold compared to like the frenzy that we've seen here in the last couple of weeks?
Well, I guess it's another, for us as a junior company, it's another positive thing about having a Kinross as an operator, because they're going to be conservative.
Right.
They're going to be conservative as hell compared to, you know, an investor who believes gold's going to be 3,000. So we're going to run, consequently, and it's not us, it's Kinross is going to run this as a conservative operation, which is fine, because you can, the price of gold's 3,000, you can always take the lower grade stuff and send it through the mill. It just makes low grade worth something, whereas you might have left it there at, you know, the feasibility was done at 1650.
Right.
Yeah, that's what, $600-$700 earlier, right?
Right.
So, yeah, there's just because of that, there's actually more ore. We just have to, you know, redo the calcs and cutoff grades and all those things. So, but more importantly is the exploration upside and just getting on with that. I think that's where the real big money, a big value add is for the company.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that at Manh Choh, of course. We're going to have that $4.7 million exploration program kicking off this summer. We're also going to be doing that at Lucky Shot. So
right, you just started drilling. Recently you started drilling.
We'll start drilling soon. There's still a lot. The first drilling we want to do is up on top of the mountain. Right. And so there's a fair bit of snow up there. But so we'll get that done first. And that's kind of chasing the Coleman segment of the Lucky Shot vein down plunge from where it's been drilled from the surface. We want to chase it down plunge to down where we have our access point on the Lucky Shot tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
So then we can just mine everything from the same level. And then the next step is to get all the underground drilling done at Lucky Shot, which will generate, if we're successful, and this is a mesothermal vein, we've intersected the vein, we know the vein's there, we just have to drill the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Our objective is to outline a total of 400,000 to 500,000 ounces between the Coleman section and the Lucky Shot segment, and then develop a mine plan around that. So give us a year and a half, 2 years to do that. We're fully permitted for mining, so we can throw rocks in the box and haul them up to Fort Knox for processing. This is a really simple ore. It's free gold and quartz and a tiny bit of sulfide. We're having discussions, you know, we haven't entered into an agreement with Fort Knox, but they still got capacity in the mill, so we think there's, you know, it's a logical thing to do. We'll work on an arrangement with Fort Knox over time. The other big advantage I think we have with Lucky Shot is we're close to the rail system.
Mm.
So there's rail between Anchorage and Fairbanks. It's about 20 miles away from the Lucky Shot project. We have to haul the ore down to the rail, load it on the rail in a box, flatbed rail car takes it up to Fairbanks, and then you transfer it to a truck up there. So relatively simple logistics.
Yeah.
And fully permitted. You don't need permits as long as you keep everything under regulation in terms of the total weight of the ore that can be moved. So, and the railroad would love our business. We've already had the preliminary discussions with them, and we can certainly, there's a rail yard that we can use and all that. So,
yeah.
I like the idea of using existing infrastructure. If you look at projects that get stalled, it's because they had to build a road or a pipeline.
Power plant.
Or a power plant. Yeah. Or, you know, and right. The more complicated project you have, the more complicated the permitting risks are associated with it.
Well, and plus you get some, like, you know, mitigation and closure, you know, type of pitch too with a lot of these projects, right, that the state would have had to deal with on their own.
Yeah, and so. It's just simple is good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of that in the United States, and you know, in the West. I mean, my state of Colorado, I can even tell you how there's probably 2,000 abandoned mine sites just in that state alone. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd assume.
There's a lot.
But, you know, like, Colorado's a little bit different because I don't think they would accept a miner toll milling, you know, product from an abandoned mine like that, or create that infrastructure, because that means you're just given a permit for a new mine. You know, but in Alaska you can get that done, right?
Yep.
So it's a little bit different.
Alaska is very pro development. Obviously, always with the federal government, this is the complication. If you need a federal permit, that can take time. So, you know, the more you can reduce what it is that you're permitting in terms of its footprint, its environmental footprint, the better off you'd be. That's, again, you look at Manh Choh, our deposits on top of a hill, minimal amount of water. Water is always the main issue in permitting a mine. So you know, if you, as long as you've got your water control features planned out and worked out, and there's a cost to that, but there's a big risk and a big cost in terms of building a mill and a tailings facility and a power plant. And in Alaska, there's not power out in Tok, so that's another thing that you'd have to build and permit. Yeah. So same with Lucky Shot, we don't need to do any of that. We can mine, throw rocks in the box, and haul it up to Fort Knox for processing. So.
I saw a headline last week that the state of Alaska is looking to request like $300 million for mine research and exploration. I don't know if you saw that headline or had any like context or maybe, how you read that.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I think a lot of states are doing this. But, there's a lot of money in the Infrastructure Inflation Reduction Act. Sorry,
the Inflation Reduction Act.
I always get that mixed up because it's not about reducing inflation. But anyways, you don't create $1 trillion and reduce inflation. I guess the government hasn't figured that out yet. But anyways, I digress. But that's what it is: tagging into money that's been made available through that appropriation. A lot of it is being driven by the Department of Defense, and specific to mining.
Antimony.
They can't get enough antimony. You saw the thing with in Idaho there, right?
Yeah, more money.
So, it's not a done deal, but the fact that they're having those discussions indicates that the DOD is always in a special, has a special place in government's heart because, when the Department of Defense says we need this stuff.
They listen. Absolutely. Okay. All right. Rick, it was going to be an exciting couple months. Can we touch base in June once the news hits that the ore is going through and see how everything's going? And
I'll have pictures.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. And then, pretty soon after that, you're going to have to talk about cash flow.
Yep, so, exactly.
I'm sure you're getting...
I'll make sure I got my CFO on so I get it right.
There you go. Very good. All right. That's Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse, everybody, from Contango Ore, the new trade on the NYSE American with CTGO. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.